This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's a funky edition of Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall, our producer and musical DJ, checking out the theme for today. Rudy Salazar's walking around again. Charlie Carlin just got here, ready to work for the day. So it's starting to be a full house here at Union Broadcasting. So anybody who's had kids know that on weekends, especially when you're on the run, you have to pack snacks and things to eat. And a lot of that involves, when you guys were kids, your parents would pack like a little plastic container with Cheerios. And especially if you go to church, depending on whatever church you go to, if you don't go to church, I don't know, but Catholic church, usually you want your kids to be quiet. And if they're making noise, you hand them some Cheerios. So I didn't have time to eat breakfast today, so I'm like a little kid. I brought my Ziploc bag of Cheerios, so I feel like I'm about 3 years old.
I was going to say, you reminded me of my nephew, who is a year and a half.
I can eat cereal 3 times a day.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with it. But the Ziploc bag cereal. I mean, I'll eat 20 bowls of cereal a day.
Bring in the box, I guess.
We just need milk. That's the problem.
Right. Like, was it Plaza 3 is closing here soon, right? Which is sad because I've been there a handful of times. It's been a while. But if I would find it acceptable to go to Plaza 3, order their best filet, and then have a little bowl of Cheerios on the side. I could do that. Get laughed out of there, but...
Charlie says, that's a good side dish.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to have to go down there now that they're closed. I feel bad.
March 10th, man.
I know. It's sad that so many businesses are moving out of the plaza and new ones are coming in. And I'm, you know, it's the market, the way the market works. But it's just sad. It's a Kansas City institution. It has been for, 55 years or so. So, folks at Plaza 3, sorry to see you go. I hope you can find another location if that's possible. I don't know. I don't know what their plans are. I'm not in the business. I don't read the Business Insider.
According to Pete Enoch, who's a reliable source on many things, I think they're just closing, like retiring. It's just done. Because why wouldn't they just sell the restaurant if they
Well, they don't own the lease. That's the problem. And
right, but...
The new people who own the plaza are not from here, and they've probably driven up the lease rates for... I don't know. I shouldn't speak about something I don't know about.
Isn't that what talk radio is, though?
Yes. Yeah, good point. Just say whatever you want.
Yeah, so just go for it, man. I got a dump bunt back here.
It appears to me that there are a number of businesses who either can no longer afford the leases on plaza properties or they have other options. I'll put it that. How about that? Is that okay? Did I cover my bases on that? Okay.
I guess. I mean, I don't care.
I'm sad to see Plaza 3 go. But I am happy to be joined by Riley Gates from GoPowerGat.com to talk K-State basketball. Riley Gates, have you ever been to Plaza 3 in Kansas City?
I have not. That's one of the places I've never heard of. Now I'm kind of wishing I had, but it said it's closing, so I doubt I make it there before they close.
Yeah, it's March 10th, so I guess it'll be next week. It'll be touch and go. Be touch and go, but I'm sad about it. So I'm sure you wanted to hear us talking about Cheerios and steaks and restaurants and all that this morning. It's the way it goes.
I'm not a big cereal guy. That's not my thing. But, you know, to each his own.
Yeah. What do you roll out with in the morning? You make your own pancakes, French toast?
The thing is, I'm not much of a breakfast guy, honestly. And it's not even that, like, I like to sleep late or anything like that. I'm just not a big breakfast guy. But if I do, I'm making something salty, you know, like hash browns or
I can get down with that.
Breakfast burritos, things like that.
I can get next to that idea. I'm good with that. Yeah, if you needed my approval on your breakfast choices.
I will be sure to call you when I cook breakfast.
I'll get a call tomorrow morning at 6:30. I was thinking about hash browns. Should I go with the sausage? I don't know. So anyway, we do have basketball being played today. Basically, if you have your TV on either ESPN or ESPN2 from now until the end of the day, you're going to be watching the Big 12. West Virginia and Texas just tipped. And then K-State and Baylor will follow up. It'll be in Manhattan on ESPN. So, Riley, what do you think right now about K-State? I think K-State is still in a very precarious position in terms of the NCAA tournament, back-to-back losses after winning those three straight. We thought they were back on track, maybe out of that play-in game. Maybe they've slipped back into the play-in game. I know Joe Lunardi's Latest bracket has K-State as a, I just misplaced, I believe they're a 10, yeah, they're a 10 seed, going to Detroit in the South bracket to face Creighton. But going into the Baylor game this afternoon, should K-State be thinking of this as a must-win?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. We talked last, when we talked last Saturday, or however much we somewhat tried to talk, we looked at this stretch of three games, Oklahoma, TCU, and Baylor, and, you know, we said that they can lose, you know, one, maybe two, don't go on three. I didn't think that they'd go on three, but right now they're looking that straight in the face, which is a big problem if you're K-State, because, yeah, there's two groups of thought here. There's two groups of people, I guess I want to say, when they look at K-State. Some of them look at it as K-State has 9 wins in the Big 12, K-State has 20 wins overall. They're locked for the NCAA tournament. That's what some people think. And I completely disagree with that set of people. I don't think K-State's a lock by any means. I think if they won one more game today, I think they would be in. But the problem is they've dug themselves such a big hole with playing a bad non-conference schedule that they're sitting right here on this 10, 11, 12 seed line, potentially a play-in team. And right now they're not winning games. So, yeah, they're definitely looking at this game, I would say, as a must win, because if you lose today, I think you have to win two games in Kansas City next week. Oh, you are not going to the NCAA tournament. You know, that's just my personal opinion, because I think they'll fall out of all the projected brackets with a loss today.
And that would be a difficult mission if they were to lose today and go to Kansas City, having to win two games. It's the Big 12 tournament, in my experience, it's so hard to win that second one when you're in desperation mode, because then that gets you into the championship, and it's just, it's hard to do, especially on those back-to-back days, and especially with the inconsistency with which K-State has been playing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and on top of all of that, you're probably going to face, I guess I don't know exactly how the bracket is set up today, but you're facing a Kansas or Texas Tech, I guess, I don't know, however the bracket falls. I mean, it's not like that second game would be easy. You know, last year they got that big win on Thursday against Baylor, but then Friday they had to play West Virginia and they lost that game. So, and their first round matchup's not going to be easy either. They're going to probably be on that 4-5 game. If they lose today, I believe if they lose today and Tech wins, they're going to be in the 6-3. So whoever they're playing in the first round is going to be, you know, it's going to give them a tough test and going to wear them down a little bit. And then you're going to have to turn around the next day and face an even better team. So to expect this team to win two games in Kansas City, is it possible? Absolutely. But I'm not going to Vegas and putting money down on that, because I just don't feel comfortable about it. You know, if you're a K-State fan and you're wanting to not go to Kansas City sweating, you better hope for a win today, because that would, in my opinion, that erases any doubt at all as to going to the NCAA tournament or not. Where are you? That's a tougher question, but I think you're safely in with a win today.
And that's the approach I would have going in, because I think it is. I don't think K-State is guaranteed anything. If you lose this and then don't get two wins in Kansas City, I think if you're Bruce Weber and the Wildcats and you're sitting there in the auditorium on Selection Sunday, you're probably not feeling that great.
No, definitely. And like last year, they were literally the last team in the NCAA tournament. Like of the rankings that came out of those teams that made the bracket, they were the last team in the field. And so you don't want to come into Selection Sunday, you know, you're sitting here sweating out, are we in, are we not in? And that goes back again to, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse on Bruce Weber's scheduling, but this goes back to his non-conference scheduling. I mean, if they'd have played a little bit better of a non-conference schedule, we wouldn't be looking at a 20 overall and 9-win Big 12 team as a bubble team and sitting on the edge. We'd be looking at them as, you know, they're probably in. Right now they're just playing for seeding. So this is a hole that they've dug themselves into, and they're just going to have to find a way to get out of it if they want to go back to the tournament. Because missing the tournament, in my opinion, is an unacceptable mark for this team, because this is a team that is better than being on the bubble, is better than going to the NIT. And I think it'd be a real shame if this team was in the NIT.
All right, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. K-State basketball this afternoon at 1 o'clock against Baylor. Let's talk a little bit about Baylor, because the last time these two teams met, K-State obviously got the win. Put 90 points on Baylor, for crying out loud. But Baylor was in the middle of losing, 7 of 8 or 6 of 7. It was a really bad stretch for Baylor. K-State caught him at the right time. Now K-State catches Baylor at perhaps the wrong time. They've won, 6 of their last 8. They had those back-to-back losses to West Virginia and TCU, but got back in the win column against Oklahoma. They're playing they are playing their best basketball of the season, but some of the best basketball in the country right now at the right time for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not an easy game. You know, the final score of that Baylor game earlier was not that much of a deficit, but, like, K-State had that one in hand. You know, they dominated for most of that game.
Or Baylor ripped off a bunch of points at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't a game that K-State was going to lose. And so that was a game they had firmly in hand, and it helps when you shoot. I believe they shot, 57 or 60%. I mean, they just couldn't miss that night. And so, but this is a much different team, like you said, obviously confidence-wise. I think that they've got some pieces that are, you know, they're just a lot different players than that game in Waco earlier this year. And, you know, you can look at it as Baylor. You know, Baylor is kind of in the same position in the fact that they're panicking right now, too. You know, they're trying to make a late case for the NCAA tournament as to why they should be a team in the field. And so that's why I think that this game is, you know, a case of two teams playing desperate, two teams that are going to want to go out and try to prove to the committee, try to get a big win. And, you know, you have to wonder, what is K-State's mindset entering this game? Are they down on themselves, you know, because they've lost back-to-back games now and they could lose 3 straight? Or are they looking at it as, it's time to snap out of this, let's get it going? So I think it'll be interesting to see what the mindset of both of these teams are coming into this game. And you know, I think that the mental aspect of games is something that gets ignored a lot, but this is one that I'm definitely looking at from a mental standpoint of who brings it, who's sharper overall.
And we were talking about K-State and, you know, having to snap out of it. That game against TCU, you know, you still had guys playing okay. I mean, Dean Wade was 10 for 14 from the floor for 24. Barry Brown was 7 of 10, got 17 points, but only scored 59 total points. And to me, that's a little bit of an alarm bell right there.
Yeah, the offense was completely inefficient that day.
Right now the play between Stokes and I'm going to mispronounce it, Jara.
Jara.
The dynamic between those two and when to play them and who comes out for who and whether or not they're playing, to me, that is a real problem for K-State. I'm not breaking any government secrets here, but it's a problem.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of crazy to think in that TCU game that Dean Wade went for over 20 points and he still was not a big enough part of the offense. You know, that he hit a shot with 7.5 minutes and then that was the last field goal he hit. So he's got to be a bigger part of the offense in order for there to be a successful day offensively for K-State. And yes, that point guard position right now is just a mess. You know, Kamau Stokes, he wants to be back. I think he's a junior. He wants to help his team get over that edge, get back into the tournament. But I don't think Kamau Stokes realizes that he's not quite there yet physically from his injury. And I think he might be pushing a little too much, and therefore, he's struggling on the floor. And, when you're a confident guy, when things aren't falling for you after because they used to always work out for Kamau Stokes. He used to have no problem at all, you know, going out and getting 10, 15 points, something like that. Right now, I think he's frustrated mentally, and I think that's showing in his play. And I also think that the fact that Bruce Weber is playing him more, getting him more minutes, is really messing with Cartier Jada, because when he was at his best, what he was doing was carefree basketball, you know. He didn't freak out. He didn't overthink it. He was just looking to get the offense moving. He didn't try to get his. Now I think he is looking over his shoulder a little bit. I think he's not panicking, so to speak, but I think he's kind of thinking, man, if I make a mistake here, Kamau's going to get more time than me, and I'd like to keep playing. So it's a big problem, and if that doesn't get fixed today, you're not going to have a win, because Manu LeCompte is going to be a tough guy at point guard for Baylor, and I just don't think that K-State can get a performance like they got on Tuesday from those two and expect to be in any position to win that game.
Okay, so let's say for the sake of argument, K-State does get the win at Baylor today. Would you think that they would still have to come to Kansas City with the notion that they have to get one more win, just to make sure?
you know, if I'm Bruce Weber, I want my team to think that. I want my team to think that they're not safely in. But I think if they were to win today, I think they're in. I think if you get 10 regular season Big 12 wins and 21 overall, I do just think that they'd be in. I don't think it'd be very favorable. I think if they lose, if they won today and they lost the first game, they might be looking at Dayton potentially. But I do think they'd be in. Yeah, don't tell me about that. I would not exactly be excited about going back to Dayton.
No.
But we'll see what happens there. But I do think K-State's in if they win today. But also, I'm not on the selection committee. You know, I don't know what way they're thinking. Maybe K-State's in as of today. You know, maybe we're all just talking and asking these questions for no reason. Maybe K-State's already in. So we'll see kind of the way it goes. I think that I don't think that the importance of this game can be stressed enough. And I know I've said it a lot on this segment alone, but I'm curious if a lot of people understand just how big this game is because of the pressure that would come on you if you lost today. So, you know, just go out there today, get the win that you need right now and solidify yourself. And I don't think you'll be sweating on selection Sunday.
Yeah, K-State currently in fifth place in the Big 12, tied with TCU, or I guess tied for fourth place technically. But if Baylor beats K-State, then they have the same record, and then it depends on what TCU does today. I mean, just take care of the win so you're not dealing with it. That said, kind of broad strokes, as you get ready, I'm sure you and your team, Fitzgerald, and you guys will be heading to Kansas City next week for the Big 12 tournament. I still call it the Big 12 tournament. My previous employer demanded that we call it the Big 12 championships. Is he said that's what the league calls it, and I said nobody that I know calls it the Big 12 championships, and I was told, well, that's what we're going to say. So when you're in town for the Big 12 tournament next week, Riley Gates, this could be, regardless of you know where K-State stands, you're looking at the bottom four teams who are going to play day one, which could be, as it stands right now, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Iowa State. That might be the best first day of a Big 12 tournament we've ever seen.
Yeah, because
normally it's awful.
You know, it's a lot of good teams. You know, that's the thing with the Big 12 is that, you know, there's that argument out there, is the Big 12 the best league or not? And one way or another, whatever way you want to think, the Big 12 is the most complete and competitive league. You know, am I sitting here saying that I think Iowa State is going to come into Kansas City and make noise and, you know, win the tournament? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I also, what I am saying is that if they walked in there and they got hot for two straight games and found themselves, you know, playing for the semifinal game or heck, even maybe potentially in the championship game, that wouldn't shock me. You know, that's how crazy this league is. That's how back and forth it's been all year. And I think that's kind of why we all love it. We don't know what's going to happen. And that's why the Big 12 tournament, I've never actually heard it called the Big 12 championships before, so it's interesting.
Well, they
to say
send
that.
Up the Big 12 sends out a reminder. They have all the rules and, you know, what media can do, where you can be, where you can sit, kind of the protocols for post game. This is all stuff that nobody else cares about, where you got to interview people and all that. But they always say, please refer to it as the Big 12 championships. I'm sorry, but you can't have a regular season Big 12 champion and then a Big 12 championship champion. It makes no sense to me, so it's the Big 12 tournament, and there's nothing you can do about it. So,
yeah, and it's. I think that this year is the reason we're going to see just why we like it so much. You know, there's just something about this tournament, you know, those 3-4 days in Kansas City where there's just so much good basketball being played, and I think this year we're in for an exciting tournament, and it'll be interesting to see if one of those lower seeds can maybe sneak up and make some noise.
Definitely should be a lot of fun. Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Please go check out his work there. Follow him on Twitter, @Riley_Gates. And Riley, I know 810 WHB and the Union Broadcasting team will be at P&L next week, the Miller Lite Fan Fest. If you and Fitz can, make your way over and say hello to everybody. How about that?
Absolutely. I think we're coming up on Wednesday, and it's because K-State will probably be in that 11 o'clock game on Thursday, we're thinking at least. That's our guess. And so we'll probably be up there Wednesday. I definitely would love to swing by and see everybody again. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Absolutely. Should be a blast. All right, Riley, thank you very much. Good luck today, and enjoy K-State and Baylor, and then we'll see where it stands going into the tournament next week. All right?
All right. Have a good one, Brad.
All right. That's Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Definitely need the mentality that you better get a win today and take some of that mystery away from whether or not you're going to be in the NCAA tournaments. At least that's the way I see it. A couple of notes here. I did get a text from some friends of mine saying, is Michael Porter Jr. playing today? I forgot, when you get breaking news, you need to repeat it early and often because people don't tune into the radio at, you know, for 3 hour blocks. Mostly it's tune in here, catch us where you can. So if you missed it, Michael Porter Jr. will not be playing for Missouri today. The university released a statement from Michael Porter Jr. saying he's working hard, trying to get back, but he and his coaches felt it was the wise decision today to not play against Arkansas.
And if you're not listening for 3 hours, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, you can find everything been on the show so far at 810whb.com on the podcast page.
There we go. That's one thing I got to get back into use to, promote the podcast. Lots of good stuff. This week, the Herm Edwards interview on the Border Patrol, please go listen
to that great.
On the podcast. There were a couple other ones.
It's all good.
It's all good. Go pick one
just
out.
Great
pick
programming. Out a couple. Everything.
I know when I go for a walk, I either get on the podcast or if there's a live show going on, I'll listen to live show. So do that. So Michael Porter Jr. not playing today for Missouri. And on that note, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, former Kansas City Wizards / Sporting KC defender Nick Garcia will join us. Sporting KC opens their season Sunday at Children's Mercy Park in KCK, 6:30 kickoff, 6 o'clock for the pregame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Buchady will be on the radio call for that. So Nick Garcia will join us next. We'll get you set for Sporting KC and the new season of Major League Soccer. This is Sports Saturday. I'm Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There we go. Let it roll just long enough for the drums to kick in. It is a funky Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday. I'm Brad Porter. We broadcast live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is our producer. Got a lot of Big 12 basketball going on today. In fact, already underway, West Virginia and Texas, and the Mountaineers lead by 2 over the Longhorns with about 8 minutes to go in the first half. K-State plays at 1 against Baylor. KU at 3 o'clock against Oklahoma State. Coverage begins here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at noon with Jayhawk Game Day with Josh Briscoe, and then the network pregame show at 1:30, the actual game at 3 o'clock, and then the postgame show to follow. So games all over the place. We have to wait one more day before we get to see Sporting KC kick off the 2018 Major League Soccer season. And joining us right now, my good friend, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender, U.S. men's national team, Nick Garcia joins us now. That's quite a resume I have to run down before we bring you on the show, Nick.
Good morning. Yeah, you know what? You might have to add that I'm a few pounds heavier here in the offseason, but all good.
You'll get back in shape running around at Swope Park because Brookside Soccer is about ready to get rolling. I guess I could add MLS Cup champion 2000, two-time national champion in soccer at the University of Indiana. So just keep adding to it, piling on. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good. I get embarrassed, right? So whether I'm with my family or kids or whatever, and you know, I get introduced and someone kind of spiels off my my resume, you know, I do kind of clam up. So I appreciate it. But yeah, that was the old me. The new me is always looking to get better off the field as well. So all good.
All right. The newer, better Nick Garcia. All right. We were talking about this earlier in the show, Nick. I'm sure you were listening. You've been listening to all 3 hours nonstop. One of the things we talked about early in the show was, okay, Major League Soccer has one of the longest seasons in American sports. It starts in March, first week. Sometimes it starts the last day in February. It just depends. And then it's not over until the first week of December. So it goes a long time. But if you're a team like Sporting Kansas City that lost in the first round of the playoffs in October, then the off season seems interminable and like it will never stop. It seems like we've been waiting an awful long time to get this new season started.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of like a Midwest winter, right? You know, when is the sun going to come out? When do you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel? But yes, in all sincerity, you know, Sporting Kansas City and others within Major League Soccer have had probably too long of an off season. But, you know, knowing Peter Vermes and his staff, he does give guys some time off. But when they work, they work. And they work extremely efficiently. You know, I remember my days where, you know, on occasion we wouldn't make the playoffs. And it was worse than preseason because you knew we had nothing to play for. We still had to go in. We still had to, you know, watch tape and have meetings and all these things. So it is never fun. You know, knowing that Peter Vermes has had his guys, his new guys, this revamped team down in Arizona, they've prepared, they've done as many things as they can to prepare. They've moved in, obviously, to their new home out there at the U.S. National Training Facility. So I think there is a certain, you know, sense of this team being prepared, ready, and renewed.
We're talking with Nick Garcia. Sporting KC opens their season Sunday evening at Children's Mercy Park in KCK. 6 o'clock for the pregame show, 6:30 for the game call with Nate Buchetti here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nick, I heard your good friend, Big Tones, Tony Miola, on the Border Patrol this week. He's coming in to be part of the national broadcast with Fox Sports 1. And one of the things he pointed out, and first of all, it's obvious, but what he's excited to see is the new faces for Sporting KC, which I think a lot of us are. We know the back line. We know Matt Beisler. We know Seth Sinovic. We know Ike Opara. We know Tim Melia, goalkeeper of the year, and Ike was the defender of the year. We know that. Those are standard guys that are players that Peter Vermes and Sporting fans can count on. But the excitement is with the new players. You bring in a Johan Croizet, and I know I'm going to butcher his name, but he's played a long time in Europe and in France. You're bringing in a Felipe Gutierrez, who's on the Chilean national team, who has a lot of world experience. You're bringing in Johnny Russell, who's been playing in England. In fact, his team, Derby County, is going to get a promotion to the Premier League next year, but he's played on the Scottish national team. And all these guys are 26 and 27 years old. And those are the exciting players because they're players you kind of know. But Sporting fans want to know how we're going to score. Those players are mostly midfielders. So there's going to be a lot of attention focused on Kyrie Shelton, who, just a couple of years ago was the number 2 overall pick in the Super Draft. He's only 24. But yep, he's a guy that is going to be under pressure to get goals for Sporting Kansas City.
And, you know, I think he's going to face the same pressure, you know, that Rubio has faced, that Dom Dwyer faced when he was here. You know, and knowing how Peter builds teams, he builds it from the back forward. And I think any coach in his or her right mind, that's the way you have to approach the game, especially at the professional level, because, you know, it's not like the NBA where you can just score and be scored upon and, you know, the game will take care of itself. In soccer, it is a game of mistakes. And knowing that Peter Vermes has a stout defense, that, you know, guys just re-signed, you know, and that piece, I think, for them can play to their benefit. But as a player, knowing it and seeing it firsthand, you know, sometimes when guys get new contracts, they might kind of coast a little bit at certain times. I'm not saying that's going to take place here, but, you know, knowing that you shored up your back line, knowing that your midfield will be robust, I would agree with all the pundits out there questioning, wondering who's going to score the goals. But I tell you what, they will have plenty of opportunities. But they've got to be very efficient in how they go about scoring goals. They've got to be very good in between the posts. Set pieces, obviously, for Peter Vermes are a must defensively and offensively. So, you know, don't also be surprised if Peter maybe is still going to continue adding players from this point through the summer window. You know, and I think if you look at a lot of teams here in Major League Soccer right now, they have gone younger. Most recently, Atlanta. New York City, you could say, is doing the same thing with some of their guys. But, you know, Sporting has gotten rid of, 15 guys. They've added 10 new ones. The continuity is there. You got Brad Evans, who's been around this league for a long, long time, which I think was a great pickup for Peter. You know, he wants the kind of guys in the locker room and on the field that are going to help this team get better. And I'm happy to see it's being done. And quite frankly, I think personally it should have been done a year or 2 years ago, but for whatever reason it wasn't. So this is the hand now that Sporting and the fans have to deal with.
And I did like that you mentioned Brad Evans because it seemed like it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden somebody tweeted out, hey, you know, Brad Evans is training with Sporting Kansas City. Did anybody know that? And that kind of came out of the blue, but he's a big name guy who can play defender and U.S. national team guy, a lot of world experience. One more thing on Kyrie Shelton, bringing him in. Does Peter Vermes not only add depth with Daniel Shalloway and with Johnny Russell and Diego Rubio, not only add depth, but quality depth, guys that you're comfortable putting in any situation and getting the job done?
For sure. I think it goes back to Peter and Kerry and Z and all the staff, right? I think if you look at a similar setup in San Jose, they've got great facilities. They've got great fan support. They have had to tweak things from the top down. But, Peter being the person that he is, having absolute control and doing great things with the first team, I think makes Sporting what it is. And he gives them that continuity season after season, year after year. And you really have to give him credit because, without that direction and that long foresight in planning, I think too many teams in MLS are sometimes knee-jerk in their reactions. And San Jose, again, to their team, they've had great talent, but they have done very little with it. Peter squeezes every last bit of energy and ability out of players, and I think that's the biggest difference. It's those intangibles, right, that Peter knows because he's been around and he knows this league very well.
All right, we're talking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards, Sporting KC defender. Sporting KC opens Sunday night, Children's Mercy Park, KCK against New York City FC. And I did like also that you mentioned the league in general trending younger because, in my opinion, and I think Sporting was kind of at the front edge of this, not going out and spending massive amounts of money for, I saw a guy play in England for 15 years and now he's coming here. We get a chance to see Steven Gerrard play. Not so much David Beckham. He was still a quality player and the goal was different with him. It was, let's get eyeballs on the league. But the Steven Gerrards, the Andrea Pirlos, those kind of players who I admire and respect, I think those days in Major League Soccer are over. I can still see it happening to a couple of guys. But Sporting KC never really got into that. The bidding wars and spending $6 and $7 million on a player, and it's paid off. And in terms of trending younger, I mean, Sporting KC, for crying out loud, has a 15-year-old on the team.
Yeah.
And that's a trend because Major League Soccer, if there's one knock, both for the national team and Major League Soccer, is that young guys don't play. And now I think it's trending to when you sign those guys who are 15, 16, and 17, you're going to start seeing them in games that matter, which is very different from the past 20 years.
Yeah, and to that point, right, you're either a trendsetter or you're a trend follower. And I think Peter, for the most part, has been a trendsetter when it comes to fitness, when it comes to facilities, staff. I would say that, last year, I would have liked to have seen them make or have made changes sooner. But again, we aren't in those conversations, so we can only second guess. But, if you look at this league and how ownership, how teams are getting better, it is because of younger players domestically and internationally. If you look at New York right now, they have a DP in Jesus Medina. The guy has played at Boca Juniors. He's played for the Argentinian national team. He has a European experience. And he's the kind of guy that replaces a Pirlo in New York. They've got other guys to come in and help David Villa, because he's aging. So if you look at how teams do things, it's very strategic. Obviously New York City has the Manchester City, partnership, ownership group that helps them with that. And I think you will continue to see Major League Soccer teams and ownership do a better job in getting homegrown talent, younger players, because that's truly the lifeblood. And at the end of the day, players are commodities, right? You want the best you can get at the best price. And once you're said and done, you move them on. Look at Benny Failhaber, look at Dom. Smart decisions, in my opinion. And it's all business. It's not personal. So you got to make the most of the opportunities you have.
And I'm glad you mentioned David Villa, who's going to be at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow for New York City FC. He is one of the guys that came into the league with a huge contract that has made his mark because he was still at the top of his game in the Spanish league before he got here. He wasn't a guy who was in decline, and he's come here and been nothing but sensational. One of the I guess exceptions to the old guy rule.
and you could also say that for Beckham. He provided
right.
A certain credibility. He served a purpose. I know that he made his money back for league and ownership just through ticket and jersey sales. And, you know, again, each market is different. You know, you brought up what Kansas City has done well. They haven't gotten big players. Claudio Bravo, you could say, is one of their bigger guys, but they don't need a guy like a Beckham to come. They can sell it because it's the Midwest. It's easier. It's a better lifestyle. And the expectations are still high. So, you know, Sporting has done very well here in home openers. You know, I think they've won something like 13 or 14 home openers. Rarely do they lose at home. They've yet to lose to New York at home. But, you know, again, beware. It's the first game. The energy will be high, but hopefully the jitters for both teams will be low because, you know, historically, home openers aren't blowouts. And I honestly see this game being pretty much on par, a 1-1 game if I had to predict, just because it's the first one. People are feeling things out. You know, how are you going to start? What subs are you going to bring in? What adjustments are you going to make? I read something here online that, you know, people are guessing, well, what kind of a formation is Peter Vermes going to play? Well, here's my answer to that. He's going to play a 4-5-1, a 4-4-2, and a 4-3-3 all within the same game. And why? It's because he is such a tactician and master at morphing and adjusting to opponents, but he's also a master at employing his will on teams. You know, we know that it's going to be a constant four in the back, but I think when you have guys that have played at the highest level internationally for their World Cup teams, they have the ability to push numbers forward, defend, attack. But like you mentioned here before, Brad, scoring will be the biggest issue, and that's got to take care of itself sooner rather than later.
And Peter Vermes' ability to change tactics on the fly, I would hate to see him leave Sporting KC for the U.S. men's national team, but if that were to happen down the road, the team will benefit from that because we remember that game during qualifying when Michael Bradley and other players came to the sideline and told Jurgen Klinsmann, look, what you're doing ain't working, and forced him to change. Peter would know what to do, but that's a discussion for another time.
It is.
Another quick question here. We're talking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. Season gets underway Sunday, 6:30, Children's Mercy Park. It's live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One of the things that Peter Vermes cautioned this week, he was on with Seren Petro here. One of the things Peter Vermes cautioned, with all of the new guys they have coming in, and Jed Marshall pointed this out too, back in 2011, the team had, what, a great game to start and then lost like eight in a row, and it was ugly. And there was nothing good about it, and then went 20 to 22 games, getting results in every single one of those games. So it will take time for these new guys to adjust not only to Sporting KC, but to Major League Soccer and the lifestyle. And you may take a few weeks to shake it out and figure it out, but it's a long season.
Yeah, and here's the deal on that, right? I mean, you have, say, Russell, for example. You know, he's played some games. He probably isn't match fit. Is he going to start? Probably not. But I guarantee you this, Peter will get him the minutes he needs. It is a marathon. You know, Peter's the kind of guy that will break the season up into quarters, knowing that there's 34 games, 17 at home, 17 on the road. You know, he will make this team better over time. It's about playing. It's about recovery. It's about getting better. And at the end of the day, you know, that's why you have plenty of guys to count on. That's why you have guys with plenty of experience. That's why you have guys that are making, quote unquote, the big bucks here, because you expect those things. So it will happen. It won't happen immediately. I think Peter realizes that. I think our fans realize that too, right? We have some of the best fans here in Kansas City, and they are very good at being patient. But with that also comes time, and with time, they expect winners. So that, at the end of the day, is how they are all based, all professional sports, right? So it has to happen, but it won't happen too soon, I don't think.
All right, a couple of final things for you. Nick Garcia, one, you know, I felt a little bit disappointed yesterday when I saw Eric Hosmer in a Padres uniform playing playing against the Royals, and that's when it hit me that he doesn't play here anymore. Eric doesn't work here anymore. I had a moment about that for soccer earlier this week. 2018 World Cup in Russia, and the news came out that Neymar, the star player for Brazil, who now plays in France for, I was going to say for whatever reason, but it's a pile of money, that's the reason. But he's injured, he might miss 3 to 3.5 months, possibility he could miss out on the World Cup. And I thought, oh my God, Neymar, not in the World Cup, he's like the third best player in the world, that's huge. And then it hit me, you know what, the entire United States isn't going either.
Sad, isn't it? Well, and what's going to be bad, right, is that our kids growing up in America these days will miss out on a World Cup opportunity. They will not have American stars. They will not have the billboards and, you know, the media and American players to follow. And that is probably most disheartening. You know, if you look at a guy, you know, Clint Dempsey. All right, so he's almost done. Well, you know, what about other guys that are coming into their prime that can make a difference and give, you know, this role model of credibility to our young folks? That's most disappointing for me. So I'm with you. You know, Neymar will be out for a while. Obviously, he had a terrible ankle injury. They've got to have surgery. So people will move on, right? And we will find new stars. They just won't be American.
All right. Here's my high note of the day for me personally. We're talking with Nick Garcia, who also runs Brookside Soccer. Full disclosure, my kids have been in Brookside Soccer since they could basically walk. My oldest is going to be a freshman at Rockhurst High School next year, so he'll be moving out of the Brookside Soccer program, I think. But here's the thing. For all the years that we've been a part of Brookside Soccer, and you got to send in your check, which, by the way, it's very affordable. No complaints there. My oldest today is going to referee training, and if he passes all the tests, he will be hopefully a referee for Brookside Soccer. So, Nick Garcia, instead of my family sending you money, you're going to be sending my oldest son money.
Tell you what, as long as he shows up for work on time and he does his job, I will gladly pay his salary.
He's ready to go. He's very excited. So
love it.
Appreciate it. All right, Nick Garcia, I'm sure we'll see you down at Swope Park, and we'll see you at Children's Mercy Park as well. Thank you very much.
All right, Brett. See ya. Right,
that's Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. Season starts tomorrow. Pre-game show at 6 p.m. with the game at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 at WHB. Nate Bucati will be on the call, and then Davey B will have the post-game show right after that. Good, good stuff. All right, our thanks to Nick Garcia for joining us. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Just a reminder, in case you missed it, Michael Porter Jr. will not be playing for the University of Missouri basketball team today against Arkansas. Just make sure we're all up to date. All right, one final segment to go. We'll take a quick timeout. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This might be my favorite one today. I like this one. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is our producer and DJ today. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. I was just going through Twitter to make sure I haven't missed any important information and notes yet. You know how long it takes me to find a mean or hateful tweet? As soon as I log on to Twitter, average amount of time. And not about me. I'm talking about politics or you pick your topic. How long does it take to find something mean, horrible, disgusting, inhumane, inhuman?
Got to be less than 5 seconds.
It's usually about 10 seconds. I saw one the other day, and I'm not going to repeat the tweet. It wasn't tweeted to me. It was tweeted at somebody else about a professional athlete, and it was so mean and so disgusting. I almost became that guy that says, hey, Jack, isn't that the guy who runs Twitter? You at Jack or at Twitter, check out this guy. I think you may want to close his account. I didn't want to be that guy, but it was so bad. I read it and I was like, geez, people, can we not for a few minutes just stop? Can we get out of our firmly held compounds for 1 second?
Can't do it.
You're on this side or you're on that side? You're
pick
with
a side, Brad.
You're against me.
Pick a side. Quit waffling. Which side?
Picking my side.
There you go. At least it's a side, man.
I'm on my side. I'm on your side.
No, I'm just on my side.
You're just on your side. You're going to stay on that side of the glass and put up some barbed wire.
I got Rudy back here. He's on my side.
Rudy's on everybody's side. He's a good guy. Rudy doesn't get mad. I've never seen Rudy mad. I don't know if
The most heated I've seen Rudy was last, I think it was a Saturday when we were talking about Marcus Peters. And like I said, when I was like, all right, I'm going to go outside, he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I'm like, no, cool.
So, just be nice. Huh? I'll send out, how about this? Well wishes to the 8th grade team is going to a history competition today over at William Crispin High School. So the visitation guys that are going over there, good luck today. Good group of kids that are all moving on to high school next year, but good group of guys. Good luck with that today. Also had a great row of guests for today. Brandon Kiley from 101 in St. Louis, right as the news broke that Michael Porter Jr. would not play today against Arkansas, which, by the way, Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com tweeted out here about an hour ago. At least the drama is out of the way for today. Mizzou tips in 7 hours in a game that can completely lock up an NCAA tournament bid, and that's the story we should follow the rest of the day. Gabe, I'll agree with you after we get to noon, because then I am done. But until then, still got to talk about it a little bit. So Michael Porter Jr. will not play today for Mizzou. So we had Brandon Kiley on. Also, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, was on today. And we're going to hear him this afternoon calling KU and Oklahoma State. Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com joined us. And Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards Sporting KC great. So after we are done, we're about ready to wrap things up here at noon. Josh Briscoe will be here in studio with Jayhawk Game Day. He has already rolled in. And Charlie Carlin as well. Yes, I saw Charlie. He was in there and then disappeared. So Charlie Carlin and Josh Briscoe, saw Josh roll in. It's a great show. The guys are just a blast to listen to. Like listening to them.
I think Charlie's downstairs practicing Mario Kart.
He's practicing Mario Kart? Okay.
He has a wager on Cody's spin wheel. Have you heard about this?
Hey, I know the spin wheel.
They're gonna bet on like a Grand Prix race, okay. And we're going to put it on Facebook Live. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'll be on the edge of my seat waiting for that.
You should be. Brad, this is real life stuff, man.
I'm not good at Mario Kart. My kids.
Well, you
got to
go downstairs and practice.
My kids used to kick my ass in Mario Kart. So did most people. So anyway, at noon, Josh Briscoe and Charlie Carlin will pull themselves away from Mario Kart, and it's very good stuff. And then at 1:30, the Jayhawk IMG Network pregame show will take over. And then at 3 o'clock, KU and Oklahoma State with the postgame show to follow. And then NBA action tonight at 8 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Celtics and Rockets. Wow, this is one of the few days that Jed and I haven't talked NBA. The move that
set the world ablaze.
Set the
James
world
Harden.
Ablaze. James Harden.
Wasn't it Wesley Johnson?
Destroyed the internet.
Yeah.
It was one of the greatest, funniest, in-your-face moves I have ever seen. This is up there. Look, it's dangerous territory when you start comparing to Hall of Famers. Larry Bird used to kind of do a step out, and if you missed, he would either shoot over the top of you if you came at him, or he'd take a sidestep and watch you fall out of bounds and take a shot. And then he would run down the opposing team's bench and just talk trash. That was James Harden. That was the ultimate in-your-face, I'm so much better than you move I have seen in a long time. Ankle broke the defender. The defender lays on the floor. Nobody else on the Clippers even bothered to run in the direction of James Harden. Defender popped back up, started laughing. James Harden. How long did James Harden stand and stare before he actually launched the three-pointer?
Four Clippers seconds. Are awful, though. The fact that they all just stood there and watched.
Yeah. Blake Griffin's better off not being with the Clippers. I don't know how the Pistons are doing. I haven't checked.
They're doing all right. They won like four in a row. One really kept too much of tabs on the Pistons. But
The Clippers, when they drafted Blake Griffin, that was going to be, making our move. And they traded for Chris Paul. We're going places. No, you're not. The LA Clippers are not going places. They never were, and they're not going to. As long as I've been watching the NBA, the Clippers have been nothing. I rooted for them a little bit when Danny Manning was there because I like Danny Manning, but no, Clippers are not going anywhere. All right, we are out of time. My name is Brad Porter. You've been listening to Sports Saturday from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 9 to 12, for an edition of Sports Sunday. See you then.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.